up higher. Intercessor, come up higher. I believe that there's a message in this for you, for each one of the people in this assembly. I believe it's not only for those that have been called in the ministry of intercession before. Great men of God, used the most profoundly through history, have been men who interceded for God's people. They stood in the gap. Intercessory prayer is a private matter between you and God, and nobody else can see you doing it usually, as far as a general obvious thing, but it has a great benefit and consequence for you in the future of your ministry for Christ. And it has great consequence and weight in your everyday Christian walk and where you are with God on a day-to-day basis. Jesus spoke to the Pharisee in Luke chapter 14, verses 8 through 11, and to all of us, not just the Pharisees. And he told us that if any man bids us to a wedding feast, that we should take the lower seat. When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And in verse 10 it says, friend, go up higher. Those that seek to serve God's people in this unnoticeable and to the obvious look when we're together in the assembly, in this way of prayer, they'll find that God is pleased with them and he'll hear their call. Intercessor, come up higher. And this is the heart of my message tonight. Intercession was the basis, the groundwork, and the main premise of the ministries of all the major saints. All of the major saints, the main premise and foundation of their ministry was intercession. Abraham prayed for Lot and in Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 18, verses 23 through 33. And it was obvious from this prayer that he had the heart of God for Lot, his relative, and he was desirous that he be delivered from sin. And it shows that it was the heart of Christ in Abraham in that situation in Genesis chapter 18. He asked God and pleaded with God not to destroy Sodom if there would be found 50 righteous and 40 righteous and 30 righteous and 20 righteous and 10 righteous. The city was destroyed anyway because there was only 4 righteous, or somewhere close to that. But we see here the heart of Christ. We see this man Abraham was concerned about those that were weak in faith. He was troubled over those that were in a situation of compromise and half covenant. And he was willing to stand before God and cry to God on their behalf. Not pointing his finger, but pleading with God to spare them and bring them out. And he had a heart for the world as well. He didn't just want to see Lot spared, but he wanted Sodom and Gomorrah spared for the sake of the righteous. His heart was to see God's will done in the earth. Later on, Abraham did it again in chapter 20, verses 17 through 18. Genesis. Quickly here. When Abimelech had taken Abraham's wife, Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Here we see Abraham praying again, interceding for Abimelech and his house, heathen nation he'd come in contact with. Moses and his ministry was based on his heart to pray for God's people and to stand in the gap for them. And we see this in Exodus chapter 32, verses 32 and 33. He Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Moses offered him his own life up. Daniel was close to God, and he received the heart of God and received the vision of the future for Israel because of his desire to intercede for Israel. In chapter 9 of Daniel, the whole chapter shows us this. He began to pray. 21 days later, the angel came to him and said, your prayer was heard from the first day. Why would God lift this man up and give him so much revelation of the truth of the future and what was going to happen to the people of Israel? It was because of his love for Israel, for his desire for them. He was one in God's heart with that desire for the people of Israel. Samuel interceded. God used him to lead and to direct Israel. Later on, because of his anointing, because of his intercession, 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23 tells us that Samuel said, who am I to cease from praying for Israel? That's what I've got to do. He was constrained to do it. It was the only thing he could do. And this put him in this position to be used by God. We see all these examples. The people were willing to enter into the heart of God for God's people. And then God was able to anoint them and to use them. The reason we see such a great amount of scripture given over to these few men and the profound influence that these few men had, it's because of where their heart was at with God. And as they interceded for the people of God, God gave them more and more and more of his heart for them. Paul's intercessory prayer life moved him eventually into the apostolic ministry. He was desirous to see the people of God walking in the truth of God. He wanted it to happen. He was desirous to see the thing coming to pass. And it tells us in Ephesians and in Colossians that his prayer life was strenuously out for the church of God. He was bent to pray for them. It was his whole way of life. It was the whole premise of his work as he was working with the churches. Ephesians chapter 1, 15 through 17, please. Those of you who can turn to it. Ephesians chapter 1, 15. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of him. God gave him knowledge and understanding that he might pray for others to bring him to that place. In the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. He says he didn't cease. And that's what Samuel said. How could I cease to pray for you? The prophetic ministries of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Elijah, Ezekiel, all of these prophetic ministries were closely bound up with their prayer life and with how much they were concerned about the church of God and how in secret places they'd been praying and burdened and troubled and sorrowful about the problem in the nation of Israel and how they were stirred in their heart and they were beseeching God to do something about it. And that brought them to that place that they were used by God to speak his truth and speak his word. Now, amazingly enough, all of the good that we see comes to us because we get the heart of God. That's only part of the benefits there are to the intercessory prayer ministry. Just like Solomon asked for wisdom, but God gave him riches in wisdom, so when we begin to pray and ask God to move on the face of the church and to bring the things to pass that he's desirous, God gives us more than we ask. God gives us exceedingly abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. And the first benefit we see, intercessory ministry at the basis of your walk and the basis of your ministry puts you in a place where you are getting more and more and more and more of the heart of God in you as an individual, yourself. You are getting more and more vision. You are getting more and more understanding of what God needs His people to do, what God's people need to do. You're getting more and more burden for the church of God. You have more and more burden for souls. The more you pray for them, the easier it is for you to have the compassion when you talk to them. And so there's a move inside of you. And we can look back to these men and see the same thing. It says that Daniel was greatly beloved of God. He was greatly beloved of God. God delighted to give him these revelations. Why? Because his heart was in intercession. He was getting the heart and mind of God because of his intercessory ministry. And we pray for the heart and mind of God. Well, here's one of the quickest routes to get it. Moses, the same way. His personality began to manifest the fruits of the fact that he was an intercessor, that he was standing in the gap for Israel. He was the meekest man on the face of the earth. It was easy for him to submit to Jethro, his father-in-law, and do what he asked him. He saw it from God's viewpoint. He wasn't limited to his human natural understanding of how God was going to move with Israel. He was able to listen to someone who was under him in a sense and was able to respect it because he knew that it wasn't coming out of him, it was out of God. Because he had the mind of God and the heart of God, he's interceding. Joshua, the same way. Joshua, because of his intercession and prayer for Israel, came to a place where he could obey God fully. And it says of him in the book of Joshua that he filled up what God wanted him to do, that he brought it to pass. He did all that the Lord commanded him because he had God's heart and God's mind. And he was in a place of intercession. He was standing between God and the people of Israel. Jesus himself, faithful in all of his house, because he had God's heart and mind. He was God manifest. But because he was interceding for Israel, the manifestation of it was that he was faithful in all of God's house. Paul had exceeding great revelations, probably far more abundant than any man that had come in the ministry after Christ. He was far more blessed above all. And it's because he had the mind and heart of God, because he was interceding for Israel. Nehemiah was called to minister because of his intercessory ministry, because of his burden for Israel. He was called out of the palace in Shushan, and he was taken out to minister to Israel when they were rebuilding the temple. It says in Ezekiel chapter 9 that the people that were ministering in prayer and crying out that God would deliver were the ones that God spared when it came time to punish the iniquity. In Ezekiel chapter 9, verses 2 through 4, "And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand." We're talking about the judgment of the wicked Israel. "And one man among them was clothed with linen," or I should say wicked Jacob, "with a writer's ink horn by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the Lord God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in mine hearing, Go ye after him through the city, and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, and come... But come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house." These men that were crying and sighing about the sin in Israel, they were the ones that were spared from this destruction. They had the heart of God for the nation. They were in compassion for the nation. And they were in a place of favor with God and grace with God. Great grace and supplication was upon them. And they were set apart from that destruction. They were saved out of the midst of it. If you have intercessory prayer as the basis of your ministry, you have much more stability in your walk and much more stability in your ministry. You have more capacity for strengthening other souls in times of crisis, in times of fanaticism and misunderstanding of the move of God, in times of divisions and strife within the church, in times of persecution. There is more inside of you to give out since you have built in the secret place these capacities for understanding God's heart and for ministering in compassion. It says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 2, "With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you again." the measure that you give out, it'll come back upon you. And this is so true in the intercessory ministry. The amount that you give out, you can't help but receive blessing because of the intercession for other souls that you've made. It says in Luke 6:38 that the measure that comes back to you will be pressed down and shaken together. It'll be an abundant measure brought back unto you because of your giving out. And this applies specifically here in this prayer life. You'll have strength with God, power with God, anointing. You'll have freedom from Satan's oppressions. You will be in a place of favor and grace with God. You will not even be able to understand sometimes how these other people go through it. Of course, you will because you've been praying for them. But there is a power that comes upon your life as you're in that place where you're carrying that ministry with Christ and that heart of Christ. You're free from much of the oppression and negative things that come upon other people's lives because you've given yourself in this way and you're pouring yourself out. And as you're praying for others, then since we're interdependent upon one another, your chances for going in the bride and being made ready as when the bridegroom comes are all that much greater. You see, if every one of us is praying for the whole body around us, we're all praying for each other, then that increases the chances that you will be in the place you need to be when Jesus comes. If you could say, I could care less about these people. They're a bunch of hard hearts. Well, it just so happens that that's who you're fellowshipping with. And that's who you're walking with day by day. And those are the people that you have to listen to in the halls. And those are the people that you have to listen to in the pulpit. And those are the people that you have to receive music ministry from. And those are the people that you live with. And if you want to get edified and built up in your daily walk, then the best people to pray for are the ones you're going to be bumping into every day. They're the ones that are going to have the most potential of helping you in your Christian walk. We are interdependent upon one another. And if you think that you can go on and say, well, I'm going to go on with God, I don't care what everybody else does. Yes, God will be with you, but we need each other's strength to lift us up. Also, intercessory prayer prepares your heart for every other area of ministry that you need to have. It fills up your ministry. It brings about a full fruitation in every other area of your work. It brings you to a place where you feel the heart of God for the individuals. You feel the heart of God for individual situations. And the power of God is there to work with you. And you have a sensitivity and a tenderness in working with others that you couldn't have gotten if you hadn't had that intercession on your heart. Another really important thing, an obvious thing, we see in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. This is a man that spent so much time in prayer for the Colossians. Colossians 4:12, Epaphras. Epaphras' spiritual reward in heaven far exceeded what it looked like the reward was on earth. The reward he was getting by building up these saints in his prayer, in his intercession, was far, far superior to what it looked like he was receiving. It says that, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, Epaphras, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. He was laboring fervently, night and day. In another place, it says right here, in fact, for I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and for them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. And so he's burdened for them. And it says in another place that he was sick because of going under these lengths in prayer. He was taking on the sufferings of Christ for the body of Christ. And his reward in heaven couldn't be measured. There was no way to measure. No man on the face of the earth, himself included, could go and find what that work was doing in the hearts. He couldn't go and examine and such and such happened. And there wasn't any label on that said this was Epaphras' prayer that did it. It was impossible to search it out, but it's all in the heavenlies. And it says that if we, our Father that seeth in secret, he will reward us openly. And there is an open reward coming because this is one area where you can minister and minister and minister and minister and minister and minister, and it's still a big secret as to what is happening. That means that all the reward is on the other side. But yet God keeps dumping the benefits of it on us here even. The last one I want to bring out, and there's others, but you are limited in the natural. But if you will get into an intercessory prayer life, you will break a lot of the limitation of your natural ministry. You can talk to people. You can talk to a person one at a time. Sometimes you get more people together, you talk to more of them. But you're really limited in the personal application to that person. You can't see in their heart. They can't even figure it out what their problem is. You can't see it. They can't see it. Nobody can figure out what's the right thing to say at the right time to deliver people from problems. But in intercession, the Holy Spirit can do that work inside of their heart, unbeknownst to them, because you're praying for them, and God's doing that work inside of them. And not only that, but you can pray for more than one person at a time. You can cut loose from the bonds of this natural life. You can pray for every single Christian on the face of the earth at the same time. You can be completely unlimited in the distance that you can go to minister to people because of this prayer life. All right, to conclude this message, God is looking for the interceding church to come and stand in that gap. He's looking for His body to do this work. In Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30, many of you have heard this, God tells us that He's looking for a man to stand in this gap. And we know that primarily Jesus is in that gap. He's filling, He's standing between God and man. But He's calling us up into that same place, saying, intercessor, intercessor, calling you, calling you. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Stand in that gap. Those that will take that position faithfully, they'll fill up their own ministry with power. And they'll supply the sleeping, dozing church with light and strength in this day. In this hour, this basic ministry, this foundation, will lead you to much more in God. But wherever you go on in your ministry, it will always be there as a foundation stone that you can stand upon and work with as the basic premise of everything else you're doing. It will prepare you more thoroughly for being in the bride of Christ and for the troubles and tribulation to come than anything else you can do. Anything else you can do. Now, the love life with Jesus will bring you to that place, but the intercession must be linked with that deeper love life with Jesus. You must, as you get more light from Christ, you must desire that others get the same light. The pastor needs to be burdened for the congregation. Those of you that are pastors, you must be burdened for the congregation. But the congregation must be burdened for the pastor and for the eldership. You must have a burden upon your heart for them, praying always that God will move in their midst and give them the leading that is desired. The teachers must have burden for the students and be continually faithful to ask God to move and to bring the message to them as it's being taught, as the spiritual work is being done in the hearts, not just the sound waves bouncing through the room. So it must be with the students praying for the teachers. So in the music ministry, they must be praying for the congregation, but the congregation must be praying for the music ministry. Each individual must pray for all of the rest of the individuals. Plus, you must pray for those that are on your heart particularly because of particular needs that you know. There's different burdens that we can come into, but God wants you to start and make that decision to have that as the basic foundation of your ministry so that you'll have the heart of Christ and the heart of God. It says again in Luke 14 that we should seek the lowest place. And what lower place than an absolutely secret ministry that nobody knows about? But God will call you up. He'll say, friend, come up higher. Intercessor, come up higher.